I'd like to thank Brooke Royals for that wonderful opening.
And welcome to the fourth episode of Hot Air. I'm, of course, Greg Esser. This week I am very fortunate to be joined by Brett Dietrich, formerly of the Philadelphia Phoenix, now enjoying his semi-retirement. I don't know. There could be a return in the books. I won't speak for him here, but certainly his current retirement from the Ultimate Circuit, or at least the AUDL scene. And going to join me kind of as an analyst here in the booth today and bounce around some thoughts. We've had some players on so far. I've had some coaches on so far. And that's, you know, I've had to be a little bit careful with my wording. But I think with Brett here today, we can tell it like it is. We can talk about the Breeze chances for the playoffs. We can talk about which players we want to see step up in this remaining season. And we can talk about the whole scene of the Eastern Division, because I think some interesting things are developing here at the halfway point. Brett, do you have any wise words you want to kick us off with? I often turn it over to my guests. Sometimes they just say hello. Sometimes they don't say anything at all. Tell the people what's up.
What's up, Breeze?
Sweet.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Cool. So the ground rules are this. You can say whatever you want. And, you know, if people have angry comments or whatever else, they can tweet either at the DC Breeze or at me, the Greg Esser. That's how you can express your interest or disinterest with Hot Air today. And then the other ground rule, of course, is one that I think you know. Puns play heavily, wind puns particularly. All the right. Breeze have a fortuitous name, and whether it's a player that has some gusto or just a fact that blows you away, you know, these things play here heavily on the podcast today.
All right, duly noted. Let's get this baby blowing.
There we are, off to a windy start. Ready, jet, set, go. So the first thing I want to talk about a little bit is the scene in the Eastern Division.
Right.
Toronto 6-1. They've lost to Montreal. That was an away game. You've got New York sitting at 5-2. You got Montreal at 4-2. DC and Ottawa tied in the rankings. I think DC might get the edge because they actually beat Ottawa, but they're both at 3-4. Phoenix 0-5, your Philly boys, yeah. And Rochester 0-3. Just lost that nail biter last weekend to the Breeze, actually. Unfortunate for them as they sit at 0-3. Three spots here make the Eastern Division finals. When you look at this list, you say Toronto, New York City, Montreal locked in. Do any of these teams look like locks to you? I mean, these are teams that you've played against. Certainly Toronto and New York, a lot of the same players you and I have played against.
Sure. I mean, Toronto's a powerhouse. They are a solid team. They have solid players, and they trashed us. They were hard to beat.
Once upon a time, I mean, this year is a little bit different. They've got that, what's that weird squiggly number in the loss column?
Yeah.
they've got a loss. Sure. So, I mean, I would say, you know, Toronto's still maybe a shoo-in for the playoffs.
Right.
But maybe not the guy to escape the Eastern Division because they've shown weaknesses.
That's true.
You know, you were telling me earlier, Lloyd, you know, still out for the season. So he's out for the time being with hopes of returning this season, but we haven't seen him hit the field yet. And he's a big part of that team. Of course, Powell stepping up, and Martin has had just some phenomenal games out there, kind of, you know, having a breakout season, if I could say so. But, you know, not infallible as the rush that you and I knew so well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they definitely are showing more weaknesses this year, and with Lloyd out, that's going to be tough for them.
So what do you think about New York and Montreal? Are these guys locks to go to the playoffs? I mean, they're sitting at 5-2, you know, a couple games ahead, one or two games ahead of the DC and Ottawa Chasers. But I don't know. New York's had some guys breaking out this year, too. You know, I talked about Martin in Toronto, but two guys that have played all 3 years, you and I played against, Billy Katz and Matt Huletta, both, you know, playing great this year, and Huletta, I think, particularly just got off 2 5-point games. You know, guys that was, you know, guy that was a bench player in past years is really breaking out this year. New York's playing some good ultimate.
Yeah, that's true, and it really says something about their program too. I mean, they're doing pretty well with 5-2. It's gonna be tough for somebody else to come up and get ahead of them. But at the same time, I mean, this is a very competitive league, and it's anybody's game. I mean, you could definitely see DC or Ottawa come up and really snag that third or second spot.
Yeah, if there's a team that kind of that I think, you know, having watched them play, I mean, I've watched New York at this point too, but having watched them play in DC, granted, on the road, on a long weekend where you're playing two matches, I mean, you know how that was.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
Just these long, the games aside, I mean, it's just long hours in the bus cramping up after the games or whatever it is. But anyhow, the team that shows, I think, the most weakness to me here maybe is Montreal, the team that could be picked off. I mean, they play great against the Rush, but, I mean, these are, like, I don't know, the way that I was just talking to Dutchie the other weekend, this is, of course, the head coach of the DC Breeze,
right,
is the transitive results of games aren't necessarily the end-all logic. You know, Montreal beats Toronto, DC, you know, Toronto stomps the Breeze. That doesn't necessarily say how the games between Montreal and the Breeze are going to go.
True.
Because teams display different strengths, and I think this is something we're still figuring out about Ultimate. We don't know, kind of, you know, oh, does the deep game trump the short game? Does the strong D-line trump the tall O-line? I don't know if I'm prepared to say those things yet, but I think because we're still figuring those out, you can't say that, you know, the Montreal win against Toronto, while defining for the season thus far, is going to carry them to the playoffs.
True, and, I mean, with their injuries, too, I'm sure Toronto's had to maybe shift their strategies a little bit too now.
Yeah.
And same with DC. I mean, they're a new team and they're figuring stuff out yet, and they seem to be getting a lot better every week. So
yeah,
could be a totally different team when they play again.
Yeah, it's true, and something that I've said again and again is DC's a young team, and that could be, and so maybe that launches us into our next question, which is, you know, so if those three teams stable to a degree, but maybe if Montreal can be picked off, if New York loses a key game here or there, they can be picked off. Who's the team that you're saying, throw your hat in the ring here for me, Brett. Who's the team that could pick them off easier? You got Ottawa, you've got DC sitting there at 3-4.
Right, well, if I threw my hat in the wind here, I'd have to say DC is a little bit better set up. But probably because they have a slightly easier schedule playing Philly and Rochester and New York. And Ottawa's got to deal with Toronto and Montreal. That's got to be brutal.
It is a brutal scene up there in Canada at the moment. Yeah, you'd much rather take three more games against Philly than two or three more games against the Rush.
I'd have to agree.
although, you know, I mean, maybe this is a statement to Philly as well. I mean, that was that Philly DC game was no cakewalk, went to overtime.
Yeah.
Before the Breeze could win it. So who's to say you know, that the Breeze are gonna breeze their way through it.
Boom.
So I think I agree with where your money is. That DC looks like the team better poised to make that run at the playoffs. It's halfway through the season. Two games behind is a lot with only, you know, 14 games in the entire season. But maybe that's doable.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I kind of wanted to mention, and I mentioned it very, very early at the beginning there, was about kind of that Rochester team. And I think with only three games under the belt, we don't know a heck of a lot about them yet. I mean, 0-3 only guarantees, you know, an 11-3 record for the year. Rochester historically not done that well, and I think I'd be safe to say that would be in a pretty extreme and unlikely scenario. But they played the Breeze pretty tight this past weekend. It was a home game, and yeah, I mean, who's to say? They've got a lot of games to play, and that's why we play them, is what they say. So the last thing I wanted to kind of talk about here, as we're burning right through my agenda, which is good to see, because I think we're getting some important thoughts out into the stratosphere, is about kind of like, so the Breeze roster, right? We talked about it a lot, or I've talked about it at least a lot on the podcast, and, you know, if this is a team that is to make that playoff run that we think is feasible, who are the players that need to step up and make this happen? A guy that I'd love to get on this podcast in the future, and it could in fact happen, another O-line handler compared to Berg I had on the podcast a couple weeks ago, is Jarnell Bajwa. Kind of more playing the apex handler role, a lot of O-line points, you know, smaller guy, but he's got those reliable throws. Last year posting that, you know, 90%-ish completion rate. Great to see. This year, not the case as much. There's been some short field turnovers by Bajwa. I've seen some of his flicks, some of those windier days, kind of turn on their sides. Really uncharacteristic for a guy that has been throwing the disc, you know, for as long as I've been in D.C. and throwing it for the ambiguously gray club team that goes to nationals upon occasion in the mixed scene. I don't know. I mean, that's a guy that I think you've got to see him return to that 90% completion rate. You know, the one thing I noticed for Jarnell the other week is by the end of the game against New York here in D.C., he put on gloves.
Wow.
And I talked to him at the end of the game. Have you worn gloves to play?
Never.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done it, and I feel like the first time I would do it would not be in the middle of a game against, you know, New York.
Right. I mean, Greg, I play defense.
So. Not a thrower. yeah, I mean, I talked to him about it after the game. He said it was the first time he had used gloves, and, you know, he liked the feel of the throw, but still seems like a bold time to be experimenting, and that sounds like a guy that's a little bit shaky on what he knows and what he doesn't know about his game.
Yeah, maybe you guys need to get a mental coach.
Yeah, the famous Montreal mental coach. I'd like to see, and maybe, you know, maybe something about the season last year, and I'm calling, you know, Bajwa having an established record in the league. He played in 2014 and had that posted that higher completion rate, but it may be easier to be the handler alongside Alex Thorn with Tyler DiGirolamo as your deep threat.
Yeah.
than it is, you know, playing that guy that's getting the most touches on the team, which is what he's playing right now.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, playing with those pit guys, they are phenomenal, and they make everyone else around them look good too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's got to step up. I mean, I remember I was at one point dipping down in my completion percentage, and my coaches came right up to me and said, "You got to stop throwing these throws," and I did. So, I mean, if he's got to be that consistent handler, then he's got to roll with that and become that 90% again.
Yeah. So the other guy that I think is interesting to discuss is a guy that's rookie this year, been playing great, and really posting some of the best numbers on the Breeze, and that's Matt Carrigan.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got 16 or 17 goals in 7 games for DC, and I think that leads the team. When you look around the league, though, that's not really a league leader.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking like he has star quality, but he's not really stepping into that star role, maybe, that's Dutchie.
Yeah.
Not holding him back a little bit. Hmm. I don't know.
So I think it's interesting, and I think I want and I see it, the same thing that you just said. You know, I see that guy that could break out into the guy the defenses need to worry about and game plan about. And so that's maybe interesting for you to ask you, as a guy that's kind of cut his teeth on a defensive role over the years. You know, how does it influence the way a defense approaches a game to know you've got to put your best mark on that best guy? You know, how does that change the game plan?
Yeah, so I mean, often playing man-to-man, you do just take your best defensive player and put them on the best O-line player. Doesn't always work. Sometimes you want to consider playing a zone, but with this big field, that's tough, especially for some of the teams that aren't quite so stacked.
I think you're right. Like, you grab that, you know, your top defender, you throw him on that, you know, top receiver option that you know they have, and when you do that, that makes the other 6 guys in the field change their markup. They got to slide down one.
Right.
And that makes a big difference. So what I want to see is Carrigan post a little bit brighter numbers, and then you see defenses that have to walk into the game and say, "I've got to put my best guy, Matt Carrigan," and that opens up Jakoskis, and that opens up. Right. Your second and third, your Allens, as the Breeze are concerned, into scoring roles, and it makes the whole team better. So, I mean, great numbers so far, and I don't want to dig anyone. I think all these players, you know, are playing, you know, great at times. But I see that star quality, and I'm rooting for a breakout. And the last guy that I'm thinking about, you know, hey, how are the Breeze going to really make this postseason run? You know, what do I want to see here? What do I want to see change? And this, you know, maybe comes from playing experience with him, and, you know, playing experience on the Breeze is Daniel White Hat Selwyn. Yeah, the White Hat, as you know, almost no one would know his name, I don't think, because he goes by the color of his garb. Is a guy that's playing kind of a role this year. He's not on for, you know, maybe as many points as he used to be. And maybe that's, you know, a symptom of the roster getting better around him, and, you know, there's nothing to be blamed about that. That's great that you don't need to rely on him as much. But I want to see his role grow into what his strengths are. And historically, from playing with him, his strengths are that he can put a frisbee the entire length of the field. Yes. It's as simple as that.
And he likes to take risks.
And so I'm not advocating needless risks sometimes, But I think a key difference with the AUDL game is there are four quarters that all expire, you know, by a timer. And that is four opportunities to score an unreturned point.
True.
And so, you know, on that Breeze roster, as I see it composed right now, there's at least one guy, probably more, that I want throwing that full field huck because I know they can.
Yeah, he's the guy to do it.
And he's a great guy to do it. You know, in 2013, he's putting full field stuff and that completion rate suffering, but, you know, you bring down one or two buzzer beaters in a game, and as I said, those are unrebutted points.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see some more of that. And he's a guy that's capable of doing it. Those are the three guys I'd love to see break out a little bit, and I think they, you know, are almost mandatory breakout guys, or other guys up and down the roster I think can too. But I mean, I think, you know, the way the Breeze are playing right now is not going to get it done. We've seen glimpses of it. We've seen three quarters of it. You know, but there are a lot of good teams in the East. We recounted them there briefly. And if they're going to pick someone off, they've got a big opportunity to do it in some games against New York. They've got upcoming road opportunities in Montreal and Ottawa. And to make those things happen, I like to see a lot of these guys in this roster play their minds out.
Yeah, it's always fun watching your teams and seeing them grow. And hopefully the Breeze can do it, because Philly can't.
Yeah, Philly's in the hole early.
Yeah.
And if Brett's rooting interest, Philly has to be out of it. Maybe he'll come around to the Breeze. I'm working on him. We'll have an arm wrestling match later to determine fan favorites. But anyhow, yeah, so the Breeze will be on the road this upcoming weekend. We're going to be into June. First weekend in June, they'll be against Philly in Philadelphia. And I believe the following weekend will be a very important road trip, playing both Montreal and Ottawa, as I hinted at earlier. A lot of exciting Ultimate to be played, seven games, in fact, for your DC Breeze. And I want to sign off here with a couple of our sponsors. We've got Waveborne Sunglasses. Always thanks to them for helping us out this year, and our community partner. We've got Papa John's Pizza, Atlas Brew Works, of course, Oak Creek Apparel has been great to the Breeze this year, and the Big Board, our local bar sponsor. So thanks to the sponsors. Thanks, Brett, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
And let's watch some great Ultimate in weeks to come.